Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chet. And the last thing that we learned yesterday was the question of whether a round sukkah is kosher. So if the make a round sukkah, and we're holding on the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, that sukkah that is kekivshan, it just has to be big enough. So how big enough does it have to be? Well, if there's enough space in it that you can put 24 people around the circumference of that circle, that means you put them up against the wall inside of your sukkah, and it fits 24 people, then it's a big enough sukkah. But if not, it's possible. Wait a second. Why do you need such a big sukkah? I mean, what's the biggest sukkah that we came up with until now? Rebbe said a 4x4 sukkah is kosher. So I don't get it. If you've got a round sukkah, so then you could have a diameter of four in your round sukkah, right? I mean, that's Rebbe Shita. But a diameter of four would only give us, even if you hold that pi is three, would only require the person, first let's define how much do you need for each person. Let's assume. So, I mean, I'm assuming he's going like the biggest sheet. The biggest sheet is Rebbe, who requires 4x4. He says, Kosur kasha in bar ba amot al arba amot is possible. The problem is that if we assume that a person sits in the space of one amma, so then that means that you need a circumference of 24 ammas. But if the halacha is that pi is 3, and kol sheyesh bekefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach, and Rebbe's only insisting that you need 4, so then multiply 4 by 3, and you get 12. Where does he come up with 24? Oh, it says the Gemara, come on. I mean, but Rebbe was saying you needed 4 by 4. He wasn't saying you need 4, and then you can make a circumference around the 4. That's ridiculous. He said you had to have an actual square. So the idea of the circumference being 3 times the radius is all very nice for a circle. Well, we're not talking about a circle. We're talking about a square. So a square has 4 sides of 4. So how are you going to be able to tell me that you're going to be doing with 12 people? Okay, fine. You need more. I understand. The perimeter of the square is going to be 4 times the diameter, right? Because the diameter here is one side of the square. Fine. Okay. Last I heard that the difference between pi being 3 and perimeters being 4 is actually an additional fourth, right, of the total. Okay, fine. So now it's 4 times 4, 16 people, not 3 times 4, 12 people. Wonderful. 16. Now, how the heck, B'shet Sarsagi, how the heck did Rabbi Yochanan come out to 24 when 16 would have been perfectly okay? Oh, but wait. The only time that we would say that 16 is enough, is where we are talking about the interrelationship of a circle that's inscribed in that square. Then you're saying, okay, so it only requires those extra people. But Rebbe was not saying that. Rebbe was saying that the sukkah requires a one single space where you can accommodate 4x4, which means that you are actually inscribing the square in the circle. So if you're inscribing the square in the circle, then you need to allow for the diagonal of the square, because now the radius is, the diameter is the entire diagonal, right? You can't use the side of the square. Aha! So therefore, ribua denafik migoi gula, an inscribed square requires more mishum murshid de karnasa, because you've got the extension of the diagonal at the corners. Fine. Let's multiply the diameter by the square root of 2. Fine. I'm ready to do that. This is good old Pythagoras. Mirte. What is the shear of the square root of 2? Again, according to the Torah's shorthand, which allows us to make extreme approximations. So the square root of 2 is 1.4. 1.4 is basically kol amta beribua. Every amma gives you an amma and 2/5, which is 4/10, which is 1.4, in its diagonal, okay? So forget about 1.4, 1.4, 1.5, forget about all that. Just do 1.4. Okay, so we'll do 1.4. I multiply the diagonal, which was currently, I was taking it to be 4, and now I'm multiplying it by 1.4, which gives us a bigger diagonal. Fine. Now the diagonal is 5.6. Excellent. Okay, multiply your 5.6 times 3. And does that equal 24? Because last I heard, multiplying 5.6 by 3 equals 16.8. So that means 17 people would have been perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, if you've got a little people, you can even get away with 16.8. So where does he come to say 24? So if this is the case, b'shef sarnechi chumshe sagi, take off 1/5 from 16, which is 16, and from 17, which is 16 and 4/5, which is 16.8, and that gives you a big enough size. Okay, he wasn't being exact, he was being approximate. Approximate. The difference between 16 and at 0.8 and 24, you call that approximate? God in heaven. If that's approximate, we might as well give up on these halachas. I mean, Eimer Damrino Lodak, Purta. Lodak means there's a little bit of inexactitude. I'm not going to go from less than 17 to 24. Come on. That's crazy. Look, there's a fundamental mistake over here. The fundamental mistake is thinking that you need an amma to define the space of a person. You don't need an amma. When he said 24 people, he was not saying 24 amos. In fact, you can fit 3 people into the space of 2 amot. That's the reality of it. And because of that, you've been multiplying totally wrong. And the actual case is that you need to measure it like this. Now, how many amas does that real circumference have? Okay, so what we said was, according to this, that then you'd have to reduce the whole thing by looking at, that means one person is actually 2/3 of an amma, which means we have to reduce the whole thing by 1/3. So now let's take a look at Rabbi Yochanan's 24 people. 24 people times 2/3 equals what? 16.8. Okay, so where do we come out with 16? Well, 16, but what do we need? We need 16.8, right? Where does he come out saying 16? Because now 24 people is only 16, and when we analyze the 1.4 times 4 and then multiply it by 3, we ended up with 16.8. You can't be machshir a sukkah with just 16 amos, because if it's really true that a person only takes up 2/3 of an amma, then Rabbi Yochanan is off. Okay, he's off. He's a little bit off. What's the difference? 16.8 and 16. It's almost the same. Well, so for that was approximate. Ah, come on, man. You can't make an approximation to say that something puzzle is kosher. You can make an approximation that's a chumrah. If he would have said, you need 17. And we would have asked, 17, you only need 16.8. Then we could have said, okay, he's being approximate. So, Amadamrino, low doc, you can say, lechumra. You can't say that Rabbi Yochanan is going to be makshir a sukkah, that's puzzle, by saying that if 24 people could sit around it, which means actually it's only 16 amas in circumference, that we're going to treat it as kosher when we actually need 16.8 in circumference. So that is no good. No good. Okay, so we were trying to work, so let's just go over again the calculations, because we're going to work it out today. Okay, so what we worked out was that we needed to first determine the diameter of the circle, and we had to do that by determining the diagonal of the square that we were inscribing in the circle, because we understood that Rebbe required an actual area that you would be able to inscribe a square in. He wasn't just talking about the equivalent shetach of the 4x4. He actually required 4x4. So it's not an aspect of area. It's an aspect of having within that circle, if you hold it, the circle is kosher, an actual square of 4x4, right? So because of that, we had to take the diagonal of 4. And remember that the Torah is makel and allows us to approximate the square root of 2 as 1.4. So therefore, in order to derive the Pythagorean theorem over here, we have a very simple way of making it easy, because the hypotenuse of the 4x4 triangle, which is the diagonal of the square, is 5.6. Furthermore, the Torah is also allows us to figure pi as 3. So therefore, all we need to do is multiply the 3 times 5.6. And that equaled, again, I mean, instead of using 5.6, the Rashi's of the Gemara was talking about it in terms of fifths, because they were talking about it in terms of fractions. But if we utilize 5.6, then we come out with a 16.8 circumference. So we're multiplying the 3 times 5.6, right? A simple calculation shows you that that's 16.8. So we asked, how could Rabbi Yochanan have said that the sukkah only requires a circumference? He was talking about it's 24 people, but that is actually, we would read, we were talking over here that we have two people sitting in three amas. That's meaning each person is two-thirds of an amma. Remember, that's how the end of the Gemara came out. And therefore, if we take off, we multiply two-thirds times the 24. We thought it was 24 people, it was 24 ammas, but it isn't. It's two-thirds of 24 ammas. Okay, so then what is actually necessary doesn't work out, because the idea that we figured out was the 16.8. And if you're telling me 24 people could sit around it, you have to multiply the 24 by two-thirds because each person takes up only two-thirds of an amma. So then Rabbi Yochanan is not allowing us more than 16 ammas in circumference. And the way we worked it out, you need 16.8 in circumference. That was the question that we left off with yesterday. So when we answered that Rabbi Yochanan just was approximating, the last question that we asked was, how can you say you're just approximating if you're telling me to sit in a sukkah that's pasul? You can approximate if you want to make a slightly larger number, but to tell me that I'm allowed to sit in a sukkah where the circumference is less than is necessary to inscribe the 4x4 square, then you're telling me shalom kedin. You cannot be not midayek shalom kedin, can you? So that was the last thing that we learned. Amar damrinan lodak lechumra lekula miamrinan lodak. We would never say such a thing. How does that work out? Okay, I hope all these calculations, which are really extremely simple, are clear to everyone. Because it's chaval to get lost in the Gemara because of simple high school geometry. So I don't even know if it's high school geometry. So if there's anyone who wants me to just run over the figures again, I'm happy to do it. But if you're all satisfied, so we can continue. And are everybody giving me a thumbs up there? Okay. I sort of got some thumbs up, but all right. We'll pretend that I got everybody's thumbs up. Okay, okay. All right. So we don't have an answer yet. That's where we left off yesterday. Amale Ravasi Luravashi. So Ravasi said to Ravashi, which of course is impossible because Ravasi did not live at the time of Ravashi at all. Ravashi was already writing the Gemara. So some say this is not the only place we found. Some say that there must have been two Ravasis, one who lived at the time of Ravashi. But any event, let's go back to the way we said it before. A human being does require an amma. We were wrong in saying that he was referring to squeezing everybody together. And where Yochanan was not talking about the people sitting inside the sukkah, he was talking about the people sitting outside the sukkah. He was not including the space of the people. Mokum gavrei lo kachashiv. Okay, so, all right then. So then that means that you have to take off from the diameter of the circle two amot. Is that clear? Because we thought the people were inside, and that was giving us one additional amma on one side and one additional amma on the other side. Now we're saying they're outside, so now compress the circle inside by one amma on either side, which means that our diameter is 6, not what we thought before, right? So if that's the case, we thought the diameter was 8, and if pi is 3, and if a person sits in one amma, the way Ravasi is saying, that we would need a diameter of 8 to equal 24 people, 3 times 8, that would be sitting inside the sukkah. But if they're sitting on the outside of the sukkah, then that means that the sukkah itself has a diameter of 6. But a diameter of 6 multiplied by pi is 18. Okay, so then what is he saying? Turns out the Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you need a diameter of 18. But that's not really true, because you barely need 17, right? You need only 16.8, the way we figured it in, because you only need the diameter of a sukkah to equal the diagonal of a square, which is 4 by 4, and figuring the square root of 2 at 1.4. And therefore, this is not accurate. 16.8 would have been just fine. And if Rabbi Yochanan is saying you need 24 people able to sit around the outside, then he's talking about a diameter of 6, which is equal to 18, and we only need 17, and even a little bit less than 17. Okay, that's true. But since we're limited over here, because we can't talk about points, we're talking about people, and each person is an amma. So he wasn't midayek, but he wasn't midayek. It was l'chumra. This is telling us that we need more than we thought, not that we need less than we thought. So it's l'chumra lodak, and everything works out just fine. The Rabbanan of Caesarea, some say that they weren't called the Rabbanan of Caesarea, they were called the Dayanim of Caesarea. What they, I can't, okay. Just in case you didn't know, Caesarea is in Barnea's neighborhood. I ought to mention it up front to save us the time. The Rabbanan of Caesarea, and some say these were the Dayanim of Caesarea, they said a klal like this, that it's true that a circle that is inside of a square, so we have a circle inscribed, Igula Denofik Migoribua, it's true that that has a circumference which is 1/4 less than the perimeter, because we're figuring pi at 3. So if pi is 3, that means that a circle circumference is 3, where the equivalent square circumference is 4. Fine. So that we know. That's according to the Torah, that's what we have a right to approximate to. But the crazy part of what the Dayanei Caesarea said does not make any sense. And it appeared that the Gemara was offering this as a solution to the original statement of Rabbi Yochanan. That's how Rashi understands it. And the second part of the statement is that in the case of a square that you inscribe inside of a circle, so then you end up losing 1/2. It's smaller than the circumference of that circle which you inscribed it in. So in other words, what that is saying is that the circle is 1.5 times bigger than the square that's inside of it in terms of its circumference. And that, of course, is ridiculous. But if it were true, then I understand why Rabbi Yochanan said that a sukkah, that's a circle, and the people are sitting in the circle, it has to have 24 amos, because then it would be exactly the size that you need in order to be able to have the square of 4 by 4 in it, because we're not figuring the actual value of that diameter as being the diagonal of the square. We're always referring to it as having lost 1/2 of the circumference of the circle. So if you lost 1/2 of the circumference of the circle, so then it would work out perfectly. Because in this case, what would we say? That we have a 4 by 4 square. So that means that the perimeter of the square is what? 16, right? So then that means that the circumference of the circle would have to be 24. In order for it to be 1.5 times more than the square. So it works out perfectly. So, I mean, if they were right, Rabbi Yochanan would be right. But the Gemara says, but this is ridiculous. Velohi, what do you mean? How could they be right? I mean, any idiot can see that that is absolutely not the case. So how would this be meaningful for the Gemara? Now, obviously, as Tosis points out, the Dayanei de Caesarea were not idiots. What in the world were they meaning by such a statement? So Tosis points out that in terms of the calculation of the area of the square that is inscribed in a circle, if we are able to utilize 1.4 for the square root of 2, and we're able to utilize 3 for the value of pi, lakula, then this is correct. because basically we're able to figure always the interrelationship of the area, and it works out almost exactly with this approach. So it wouldn't be bad at all if that's what they meant, and it doesn't say that that's not what they meant. We were trying to apply it in a completely wrong way, it turns out, right? So that would make sense. Because in other words, if you're multiplying pi r squared, and pi r squared over here is 3, and you furthermore used the value to attain what r is by taking 1/2 of the diameter that was defined as a diagonal of 1.4, so then you end up with this relationship of the area, not the perimeter, but the area would actually work out according to the way that they're saying it. De Groot has an even more complex analysis of what they were saying and why it works out to be true much more accurately than even Tosis' suggestion. But in any event, the Gemara had utilized the Dayanid de Caesarea statement in the wrong way. So let's continue. Amar Reb Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir. If you have the commonly created stage sukkot shel yotzrim, zolifni mizos. Now a yotzer is a pottery maker, a potter. And if you have two different sukkot of, now, as you recall, in the potter, one of them lives in the closet under the stairs. And that's the wrong one. Hold on. Sorry. So in this particular case of the potter, the outside area is made for a workshop. And people walk in and they'll buy stuff and so on. But he doesn't live in that area. And he walks through that outside area, which is the shopping area. So it's a commercial property, basically, does not require a mezuzah. And he walks into his inside room. That inside room is his house. And the outside room is his work area and sales area. So there the halacha is like this. The inside area cannot be used for a sukkah. In other words, so even if he has it covered with schach, that would be kosher and so on, it can't be used as a sukkah because you cannot use your dirat kva as a sukkah. So the yeshiva of the sukkah has to be nikar. I'm sitting in this as a sukkah, not in my house that I live in all year round. So I can't make that a sukkah. And it's also considered to be my normal dira, and therefore it requires a mezuzah. But the outside one, because of the fact that it is not where I live, so now if I bring my stuff out there and I sleep and eat in the outside one, which is not my normal dira, that's a perfectly kosher sukkah, if it has kosher schach, and it's petura min ha-mezuzah. And therefore, it would not require a mezuzah either. Asks the Gemara, but why do we potter the outside one from a mezuzah? Isn't it at least the entryway to the inside house? And therefore, since it's an entryway, it should be chayev because it's the equivalent of a beit shar. So to have the achitzonah ke beit shar hapanimit v'titchayev b'mezuzah, as all of you have seen so often, where you have like a gateway into a house and it's into the yard and we still put a mezuzah because as a gateway, it's mechayev. So why isn't this at least the gateway? No, that's because, look, in order to have the chashivas of a beit shar, the house that you're going into through the beit shar needs to itself have a level of chashivut and permanence. Over here, the way that they make these little potter huts is by utilizing the schach that's not a permanent thing, and therefore it's not viewed as a real choshev abayit. And because of that, it can't be defining another structure to be a beit shar to it. What, this little hut requires a gatehouse? Come off it, man. So because of that, we don't put a mezuzah on it either. Now we're going to talk about issues that have to do with the purpose and with the construction and the relationship of the purpose and construction to the mitzvah of sukkah. And this is really an introduction, as is often the case, to the Mishnah that is going to follow on the next daf. So we've got two different sets of sukkahs. Now, one of them is a rock bash festival, and that's the siman is rock bash. And the other one is gone back home. So the siman is gone back. So now, if Tana Rabbana, if you're talking about a gone back kind of thing, that would be a simen of Gimel Nun Beit Chav, gone back. So that's Gimel is Goyim, Nun is women, Nashim, Beit is Behema, and the Chav is Kutim. So that would be Sukkot Goyim, Sukkot Nashim, Sukkot Behema, Sukkot Kutim, and for that matter, any old kind of sukkah at all. I don't really care. Sukkah mikol makom, even worse than those. What's wrong with all of those? Well, what's wrong is that they were made by people or for people, either way, that are not chayiv in the midst of sukkah. So therefore, you would think, okay, I mean, if that's the case, you can't call it a sukkah for the chayiv of sukkahs, can you? So then it shouldn't be kosher. No, it's perfectly kosher. As long as it's got proper schach. Now, when we say proper schach, what do we mean? I mean, obviously, you can't use posel schach, can you? So when you say proper schach, it means what? Omrev chiste, it means that the kosher schach was put there for purposes of providing shade and not for purposes of just providing privacy. Because that's a big difference. A sukkah, remember, has to be l'shem tzel. And that we said, v'sukkati el tzel yomah mechorev, and so on. So that is what it means. If it was made for shading purposes originally, it doesn't have to be made for the shade of a sukkah. It's providing shade. That's what's important. And why do you add the words, and any old sukkah, I don't care, even if it's less than a sukkah of gone back, well, that's rakbash. So that's Latuye Sukkah's Rock Bash. Somebody's making a Rock Bash festival. So what does Rock Bash stand for? So the Reish stands for Ro'im. It's a shepherd sukkah. And the Kuf stands for Kayatzim. Kayatzim, the Kayats, remember, which is the word for summer, is actually the word for figs that are collected during the summer. And therefore, Kayatzim would be a reference to people who are taking care of figs that are out to dry in the open area and in order to prevent them from being stolen, so they make a little hut for somebody to sit in there, which was the equivalent, doesn't mean anybody's in there, you know, it's the equivalent of those modern signs, this area is under camera surveillance kind of thing, right? But okay, so this was a sukkah of the Kayatzin where people were in to watch. Sukkot Burganin are the same idea, except that they are, in this case, we see Burganin for the watchmen that go around the city, and they have these little huts that they sit in. And the sukkah of people are Shomrei Parrots, that's the shin. So all of these, Sukkot Ro'im, Sukkot Kayatzim, Sukkot Burganim, Sukkot Shomrei Parrot, and any old kind of sukkah, sukkah mikol makom, this is the other bright, this is Kshera. So this Braita lists all the other types of sukkahs as a rock bash and not as a gone back, which was the first one. But it's basically the same exact Braita, except it views rock bash as being more important than sukkah mikol makom. So when we say misuchechet kilchata, it means same thing over here. My kilchata, here too, Rav Chisda explained, it needs to be made for purposes of shade, not just privacy. So sukkah, when you say in this case, and I mean any old kind of sukkah, what does that include? That includes gone back sukkahs. So I don't understand. Why does one Tana think gone back is the better sukkah? And the other Tana seems to hold that rock bash is the better sukkah and that we just need these extra words. And I would include even lousy sukkahs such as gone back sukkahs. And the gone back Tana says, I'd include even lousy sukkahs like rock bash sukkahs. What is the difference between the way of looking at it as to whether gone back is more important than rock bash or vice versa? So high Tana, the gone back, he holds that gone back at least is a more reasonable kind of building to view as a sukkah because they are actual permanent little buildings. So they, just because they were made for a goyisha use or a kuti use, or they were made as an animal stall, but they are a real building. And therefore, you want to use it as a sukkah, go right ahead. And then he says, but don't think it has to be that way. I'm telling you, you could even use a rock bash sukkah. So mikol makom would include rakbash, which are things that are not meant to last very long, and they're also good. So latuya rakbash to lukavi, whereas the other brayta was saying, look, rakbash sukkahs are much better because alimele rakbash de b'nei chiyuvin, you know, at least they're made by people that are chayiv in the midst of sukkah. And then, but don't think they have to be made by people or for people that are chayav in sukkah. You should know even gone back sukkahs are okay because they too, as long as they're made for tzel, la tuye gone back to lav bechi yuvaninu.